Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. And today, my guest is my co-host, Barbara Moore, who 30 years ago was a Playboy Playmate centerfold and still is, because once a playmate, always a playmate, for December 1992. And she's been on the show for about 3 or something years, and every show is great with her on. And I love the fact that she's in my life, and I love the fact that she's here. Are you there, Barbara?
Oh, that's so nice, Johnny. Yes, I am here. So thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
Thank you. And, you know, one of the things that I always thought was kind of interesting about this show is that a lot of times when we've interviewed playmates, we talk about how they became a playmate. But you describe, a lot of playmates describe it as sort of a journey. Like for you, it would be a 30-year journey. So in other words, in a way, since...
I understand your question, but since you and I do this show, the Playboy Playmate series, we have to get the ball rolling. We have to get the conversation going because... you never know. Sometimes they are shy. They don't know. They're not on a radio show every day. So that's why we start out with, how did you become a Playboy Playmate? And because they light up right away, don't they? And it just
they do.
Makes everything flow. But for me, why don't you just ask me anything you want? Like, maybe from the very beginning.
Okay, well, that's... the beginning is good. How did the journey begin for you?
Well, what journey?
Well, I mean, you know, from finding out that they wanted you to be a playmate to...
No. I meant the very beginning. Where am I from? I thought we would start from there.
Okay, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Seattle, Washington. And the reason I want to start from the very beginning, like around childhood, is because that is when maybe the seed was planted in your mind to want to even be a Playboy Playmate. Maybe you didn't even know what they were called, but you found the magazine and you knew after looking at one of those centerfolds that you would love to be that someday. So that's what I kind of wanted to set up right now, is the very, very beginning. Because I find it interesting, don't you? So you take it from there, Johnny. You're doing a great job.
Okay. What I was saying is that you were born in Seattle, in
Spokane,
Washington. And did you sort of...
And then my dad moved us to Seattle because he wanted to be a seaplane pilot, and he needed water. So I grew up on the docks. My dad would fly us almost every weekend, my brother and I and my mom. And that was like the best roller coaster. We didn't even need to go to theme parks. This was exciting. And my dad was so fun and amazing. And like everybody loves my dad. He is funny. And he was a good influence on me. So growing up, I had a very good father figure. And my mom, they weren't together, but my mom, I saw a whole other side of what I really think I needed to see growing up that made me who I am today. And I was thinking about that last night. Mother has passed now, but I am noticing myself in her. I got the whole real mom type, the cooks every night, sit down dinner, great cook, great hostess, leader, speaker of the Christian Women's Club, just the director of everything. So I grew up seeing this homemaking superwoman, and my dad was amazing. So there was a little glitch there, though. I did have a stepfather, and that's another show. But pretty much I saw a very good balance, a good childhood to where I got what I needed. I feel like I'm a good person. And so where did I see those playboys? Did that happen to me? Was I one of those that, you know, saw this nude magazine when I was really young? I wanted to be one of those. Was I one of those? I wonder. Sorry, back to you.
Well, you know, for example, I guess the most thing that most people would guess is that you probably saw your brother's Playboys. Was that what happened?
No, because my brother was only a year older than me. He wouldn't have Playboys around. No,
okay.
I did not see my brother's. I saw my dad's. Come on, Johnny. Are you shy or something?
No. I just want to give you a chance to answer without, you know, finish your thought. So you saw your dad's playmates.
Okay. Let's just talk about all the jobs I did and the boring stuff. You know, I just think it's more interesting to find out the psyche of one of these Playboy playmates and what were they thinking. And what were they told if you did it? And was there any regret? Things like that, like the deeper questions.
But you got
to get to it.
Okay. Well, now, you started when you saw your dad's Playboys, but did you sort of feel like you identified with a particular playmate when you saw one?
No, and I can't even remember. I hardly remember. If I was 12, then I guess it was in the 80s. This was the time that, you know, a few of those would be around. Plus, you know what, if I was looking at those, my dad, I would have probably been embarrassed if he caught me. I was 11, 12, 13, around there. I would have been embarrassed, but he wouldn't have cared. He was very open about that kind of thing. He had the same mentality as Hugh Hefner about how sex is a big part of our life. It's a normal part of our life. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to enjoy. And that's how my dad was. So, yes, that is when I hoped that I would become maybe curvy or tall enough. Because I was so tiny, I didn't know. I didn't know what kind of woman I was going to grow up to be. I couldn't see into the future. So then it was happening. I was a late bloomer. So at 18, I got this job right out of high school as a flight attendant. And it was, you know, no small task getting that. I tried really hard for this position, and I did, and they chased me out of Nashville, Tennessee. And I was not even thinking about taking Playboy at that time. I never lost sight of wanting to be a model. I knew I was going to do that. And my biggest dream was to be in a poster. If I could just be in a poster, I would say I made it. But a lot more than that happened. And I do remember, though, the first poster I did get right when I moved to LA after my centerfold came out. Star Maker did a poster on me. And I just remember my dream. And then I thought, my goal. Achieved the goal. I got the poster. So I wasn't even really thinking that Playboy was, I mean, I knew it was a way bigger deal, but I was remembering the goal and I did it. And I remember checking that off in my head. Boom, done. So that was exciting. My dreams were too small though, because if being in a poster was my only dream, isn't that a little too small? I should have dreamt of being up on a billboard, because I did. I ended up getting many billboards. So don't dream too small, people. Are you there?
Right. No, I'm right here. I was waiting for you to finish your, with your thought. I
no,
think
just
that we can
talk. It's not really like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 questionnaire. There is no questionnaire.
I understand.
That's not what I was thinking. Why don't we just talk? Pretend nobody's listening, Johnny.
Okay, good. I actually, one of the things I liked about you is you're very authentic. You know, you've always been, you know, warm and beautiful on the inside and out. And I think that that can go back to your parents for instilling that in you. Because, you know, you've always had jobs where you've had to, you know, be there for the people, like the stewardess and the and I think that those things have made you a very good person. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, thank you. That's sweet that you think of it as a people job, a flight attendant job. But I was thinking of it as more of a job of leadership. And, you know, when you're 18 and you're out of high school and you don't need anybody anymore, like, boom, right away, and you've got that flight attendant uniform on, you feel really confident. You feel really powerful. Maybe now at my age, of course, it's not going to have that big of an impact. Probably not at all. I'd be hating the job. But back then, it was really a big boost of confidence. It propelled me out of my little home, you know, the high school, the softball, all that, to boom, a woman, really. And I had my own airplane. I didn't even have anybody to report to. So
you
American Eagle, my own airplane, Embraer 120 Brasilia, 35, I think, with 35 passengers and 6 legs a day. That was a job. That was a lot of work. But I was glad to do it. And I made so many friends. I still have pilots today. I found them again. They found me on LinkedIn, actually. Really nice pilot guys. And back then, they must have thought, oh, my gosh, she's so young. This little 18-year-old high school girl is running an airplane. One of them even let me fly the airplane because I told them I knew how.
Did you know how?
Yes.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
Thank you. It's not that I know how to like take off, though. I took a pinch hitter course on how to land an airplane in case the pilot has some health emergency. I felt very confident at that time, too. Now, it's been so many years since I took it, but I really recommend this for any woman who's flying a lot with their man or vice versa, man flying with their woman. And, you know, we interviewed that wonderful playmate who became a pilot. So everybody check out that on our Blog Talk Radio. But, okay, back to me.
Back to you. You know, I didn't know that about you.
3 years of experience. Oh, what was that, Johnny? Sorry.
I didn't know that you did it, that you knew how to fly a plane, or that you were able to fly a plane, or that you had your own plane. I did not know that about you.
Well, I'm not saying I owned the plane. It was American Eagles. I'm saying I didn't have a boss above me. One flight attendant per plane. Therefore, I answered to nobody. I was running the plane. So how great is that? I did that for a while, and I always wanted to be a model. So when AMR Corporation bought over this company, American Eagle, they didn't actually before own all of the American Eagles. So when that happened, I was the lowest on seniority. It didn't even matter because all the flight attendants were let go, and because there wasn't that big of a fleet. We were a commuter airline. They let everybody go, and then I was out of the job. So I could have gotten hired on any other airline, I'm sure, if that was my path, but I wanted to be a model. So I feel like that, even though it was very hard after just a couple of years, everybody lost their flight attendant jobs because they got rid of the Embraer 120 Brasilias and they just used something else. Well, after that, it just pushed me to go to the modeling agency, pushed me. And thank goodness it did, because I was still young. I was still very young, but I was living in Nashville and I'm not Southern, so never really wanted to stay there. But it was a pretty good place if you want to be in the entertainment business. They had some modeling. What they really had was country music videos. That's a segue for you, Johnny, right there.
Country music videos. Were you ever in a country music video?
Several. Several of them, yes. Probably okay. People that you may have even heard of. Would you like to know a couple of them?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Reba McEntire?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Waylon Jennings? Charlie
yes,
Daniels?
I have.
You are going to get bored. Okay. Everybody, just go refer to my bio. You can find it on IMDb. Because, Johnny, it's not flowing here. It's not flowing.
It's all right. I wanted to give you a chance to say.
I'm looking like I've done nothing in 30 years, basically.
No. That's not true.
I take over and just talk and tell everybody, but then you're not going to be in the show.
No, that's fine. It's perfectly fine.
You.
Look, I think what the idea is, you know, when you have these experiences, they're kind of growing experiences. Like, I'll bet when you were in those videos, you grew a lot. Am I right about that?
Yes, just a minute. Continue talking, just a minute.
Okay. I mean, I personally... Okay. Like, I really feel like you must have grown a lot when you did those videos. Does that make sense?
No, I didn't grow. I had some funny experiences.
Okay, why don't you tell us about some of those experiences?
Okay. I had met Waylon Jennings before because my boyfriend was his guitar player. And it was so surreal. It was so strange because after he fired him, Waylon was known for that. Just be letting people go and just not even to their face. Hey, that's how a lot of guys who are really high up, they don't like doing their dirty work. Well, he was one of them. So all of a sudden here, my boyfriend who I was living with, and I was 19, 20, he just was out of a job. And so I kept going on my auditions. And then I booked this Waylon Jennings video, because when you're a star, very rarely you're going to be on the casting, in the casting office, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't even know who they were going to pick. So when I was on set, I was thinking, I wonder if this is going to be weird vibes when he sees I got the part and he just fired my boyfriend. And he took one look at me and he said, "What are you doing here, double ugly?" And so then I knew everything was okay. And there was no connection whatsoever. You know what I mean? And we didn't even talk about him. So I did that music video with him called Wrong. It's real cute. And his name for me used to be double ugly.
Now, my question for you when it comes to those things. And maybe you have an answer for it. You know, I have seen and talked to a lot of people, and a lot of times what they'll do is they'll say, well, I'm going to do this thing. And maybe you can get some insight to this to the listeners. They talk about how, well, I'm going to do this thing, and this is a sure thing, and then it doesn't happen. It sort of falls through. What advice can you give people to know if something is a sure thing, like a sure deal or a sure...
You know, they want to do something to further themselves, something they've always dreamt about. They want to do it, and they say they're going to, and they don't do it. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking like you're getting offered to be in a movie. You're getting offered to be in a video. You're getting offered to do a modeling shoot, but then it falls through. So the point is, at what point do you brag to your family if it's just going to fall through? Does that make sense? When is it a sure thing?
I would say that when you are booked, it's a sure thing. Or you can call them from the set.
I guess I asked that question because happened to so many people. You know, they get these things and then they fall flat and they never happen. And it
must
be very
to people who are wannabes then. You know what? Hey, get over here to this crowd. We're doers. We do things we say we're gonna do. And I don't care, everybody, if it's your dream, those dreams matter. What you think about, what you wanna do, do it. I'm even surprised at myself that I am doing another thing that I've dreamt about. But isn't this the world of self-help YouTube videos? Log on. I found my favorite lady. She's changing my life. I love it. And also, you know, about how many years ago now has this been since I won those two U.S. titles, ballroom dancing?
Right.
I didn't even start dance training. I did gymnastics, but I didn't start dance training until 29 years old. And it took me 4 years and a few months to actually get to the top. You've got to learn the basics first. You've got to learn. And you can't just go learn steps and become a champion. You've got to know the technique. I put in 5 days a week, 2 hours a day for years, 26 competitions a year, okay? Sometimes 200 entries per day to where I would go up, have to sit in the bathtub to soak my feet before I went down for round two, not even round two, okay, for the next part of the day, because I'm telling you, I have done 48 rounds to win the Ohio Star Ball, to be number one out of 45 couples, that's cool. And you know what, everybody? I didn't even start until I was 29 years old. Okay?
And actually, one of the things that I like about you in the story that you just told sort of verifies that, you have this incredible instinct to be prepared whenever you do something. You don't do anything unless you're prepared.
No, because I fool you then, because the reason you think I'm so prepared is because I'm calm.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's been many times where I wasn't even prepared whatsoever. Nobody noticed. Stay calm and I listen. You get the name, you have a little pencil to write down, oh, that's who we're interviewing, huh? Very true, Johnny. Very true.
Well, that is
right
a surprise.
I literally right now feel like nobody's listening to me. That isn't even in my thoughts. And it's different when you're on the radio than if you had a camera on your face as well. I've noticed modeling for 30 years, I notice those little differences of how I feel with, you know, these differences. And I do notice that the radio, you can get lost and feel like you're just in a conversation and nobody's listening to you if you were being filmed, okay, visually. I feel that there's a little difference there. So I've done a lot of things doing radio shows. Remember the first almost 2 years, you and I did it 7 days a week Oh, grocery shopping be doing the show. Nobody knew.
You're right, I didn't.
Yeah, my new microphone. I'll be right here.
You're right, I didn't know about any of that.
That was cute that you laughed. I'm glad you're listening up. See, I think that you were maybe a little bit nervous because you think you're not going to ask the right questions. Okay. I was a little hard on you because I want to see, what are you going to ask? I want to know. I mean, I want to see you step out of your box a little bit. But see, you already did. You stepped out of it. You're laughing. You're not thinking about people. And that's what I want with the show. I want it to be conversational. But I would like to, before we move on to the next subject, since we're on the country music, 6 years when I lived there from 18 to 24. Okay, that's how long I lived there. I started doing those trade shows. Like I said, there wasn't a lot of print work going on there for models. So I was doing that, and I started going to Vegas a lot. I met this wonderful person. He's already passed away, Stanley Greenwood. He was so great. And we would just kick up the hills, but he was the one who paid me so much. And I got the job doing all of his all across the country trade shows. So that's when I was able to make good money and then do photo shoots and just realize, hey, I can make a living doing this. But if I could get out of the small town and go to the big city, that's when it's going to be good. And I was thinking, how do I get out of here? How do I get out of here? How do I get out of here? Well, Playboy. It was so weird because that same week, I was with my boyfriend. He came over to pick me up to go out to dinner, and he was in my room. I was changing. I disrobed. He looked at me, and he said, you know what? You should do Playboy. I was surprised that he just blurted that out, but not so surprised because he had Playboy magazines at his home in the downstairs bathroom. So when I would be at his home, I looked through, I'm not sneaking at this age, but I would look through those too and think, I think I could actually do this now. So those were two different times where I actually was looking over Playboy magazine. Once when I was 12, when I visited my dad in Alaska. Also, when I was around 20, 21, 22, with that boyfriend who had the Playboys around. And then, lo and behold, he says this to me. And I said, you know what? I've always wanted to do that. He goes, call him up tomorrow. You know what? You know how I got that number to Playboy Enterprises?
How?
You think I did? How did I find that number? The golden number that was going to change my life. How did I find this?
The newspaper.
No, the Yellow Pages, but you were close.
Okay, well.
Truth story. And there were two numbers, one for Chicago and one for Los Angeles. So obviously I'm going to call the Los Angeles studio because I don't want to get stuck in Chicago to live there. You know, I kind of knew, hey, I've already moved with the company once to Nashville. I'm going to live where I want to live. Because you never asked me my childhood dream, so I will tell everybody right now. My childhood dream, when my dad took us to California, Disneyland and all that, and drove us through Beverly Hills when I was 14, I said, I'm going to live there someday. So that was where I wanted to live. I called up Playboy and asked them, how do I become a Playmate Centerfold? And they told me, send in photos. I don't even remember the exact conversation, but I thought, I am going to do this very carefully. This town, Nashville, Tennessee, this is where I live, Nashville, small, it's the Bible Belt. They're pretty much frowning down, even if I dress sexy. So they're very conservative. So I thought, I'm going to go to Florida, Miami. I met this guy who came into our modeling agency, AIM, American Institute of Modeling, with Sharon Glass, I believe, Harper. Okay, all those names. It might make sense to some people. Okay, so I was there, and this guy came by, and he handed me his cart. He was a photographer, and he said, I'm from the South, but now I live in Miami, and I am shooting topless Vogue. So if you ever want to test for Playboy, give me a call. So I had that card that I had kept for years, and I called him. The number still worked. That guy was named Ian Scott. So many models out here know him. He's an amazing photographer. I believe he's originally from the area of Nashville. And so that happened. I decided I wanted to shoot nudes out of the state with a photographer out of the state of Tennessee. Because, hey, I don't want those floating around. What if I didn't even make Playboy? You know, I don't want nude photos floating around. Either I was going to do Playboy or nothing. I flew up there, did it. What?
No, I was just saying that is true. Go on.
What was true?
What you said, you don't want that floating around. That's true.
I didn't want it floating around and not get paid for something like that. So, yeah, and I felt it would be a little bit embarrassing if you tried for it and you didn't get it. And I know how those girls would feel, because when you don't know if you're going to get it or not, you're already kind of feeling that, like, oh, God, that would be horrible. It happens all the time, Johnny, because only 12 ladies a year.
That's true.
So can you imagine how many a day try out for it? And all of those. Have we ever heard any story of a woman who tried and didn't get it? Talk?
Well, I have talked to some women on Facebook who were in Playboy but were not playmates. But I never saw one that was bitter about it. I mean, have you ever heard of that happening, though?
Yes, because I did bring in a couple of hopefuls because I wanted to get the $5,000 finder's fee, but they didn't make it. One, I thought, oh my gosh, should have told me. I took her in because in LA they have the Thursday open call. We didn't have to do it. When you're out of state, you're getting A-plus treatment. They fly you first class in, pick you up in a limo, take you to the Playboy Mansion, you meet Hugh Hefner, and you're there for all of the cocktail parties and the movies and the tanning bed, and it's wonderful. But the people who are local, well, you've heard, we've interviewed like over 25 playmates. There's some of their stories. They never even got to stay at the Playboy Mansion. They were already living in California. All they did is drive over to Santa Monica or Sunset Boulevard and have to take a Polaroid and hope for the best. I was there because I brought two hopefuls in for the Polaroid day, which was Thursdays, okay? And I took one look at this friend. I thought, why in the world did she not tell me? I mean, she had razor burn it was everywhere. The rash was like all over the area spreading onto the hips and everything. So, hello, you're trying out for Playboy? If you have razor burn that badly, don't do it that day, right? So, boom, no, big note, X. And then another one I was doing where as a favor, you know, they really had big hopes and, you know, it was somebody very close to me's girlfriend. So I was doing it more as a favor. And then I thought, I'm not doing this anymore because Plague was not going to trust me anymore. I'm going to keep bringing these people in. The same thing. The razor burn was out of control, literally two razor burn people. So they didn't make it, but I never talked to them about it afterwards.
Wow. And they were kind of bummed out about it.
I don't know. I never talked to them afterwards.
Okay. You know.
Okay, back to the country music videos.
Okay.
I want to say how wonderful it was to work with these country music legends. Charlie Daniels, I was able to do the two-step with him in his video. Shout out to my fans out there. Please, if you ever have seen me wearing a red dress doing the two-step with Charlie Daniels in a music video, please let me know because I've never seen it. And it's the only one that I've never seen. And I want to find it, and I want it. And he was the sweetest. That's before I even had dance training. But you know how you just kind of have something, you know, just always know that you just have the knack for, and that's been dancing. So I faked it, and I got that part doing the two-step with him. What a sweetheart. He has a son that's running his whole enterprise now that loves his father. So if we could get a shout out and a message to him, Johnny, to find this video. I don't even know the name of the song anymore. Okay, so that is what I wanted to talk about. And then the Reba McEntire, that was cool. But this is a funny thing because it has to do with Playboy. I was doing all of these country music videos for a few years in Nashville. And I still was living in Nashville when my layout came out on the stands. Okay, when my issue, December 92, came out on the stands, they sent a person from Playboy, this beautiful woman, to take me through my whole entire day. I mean, it was a big deal back then. I don't know how it is now, but it was a big deal, big budget. The previous week, a crew came out to shoot me while I was playing polo, because I was a tournament polo player there while I was in Nashville, and did that whole thing. That was the front page of the Tennessean, me with Aldi, my horse, with my polo mallet, my uniform on. That was the front page. And then talking about where I was going to sign autographs and what radio stations to listen to that day. It came out. But what Playboy does is they come out and they put you up in the finest hotel in your own hometown. So you don't even spend the night at your own home. The night before your issue hits the stand is the big deal for you. You go to sleep in this beautiful hotel, and then they shove the paper under the door. And there you are in the living section on the first front page of the newspaper. I think they know what they're doing. They know how to they give you
an
impression of confidence like you have never had before. And then they pick you up at, 5 or 6 a.m. in a long black stretch limo. There is the beautiful woman who's hosting, smiling, taking you everywhere. I have pictures of all of this. They take you to your radio show. You know, it's early because radio shows, morning shows are early. And you do 5. I have all the tapes on all of those shows. I mean, I listen back and I just feel like, wow, you sounded like a baby, really high-pitched voice. But it's sweet.
No,
it's nice to have those. It's nice to have those. I did like 5 radio shows. You go from here to here. It's really bustling, bustling, bustling. You have your nice, cute, casual outfit on, but sexy and cute. And then you show up to your autograph show, which is at the, used to be the music store. What was the big music store where you buy records? It was there, at the record store, the big one. Hello? Are you there, Johnny?
No, I'm right here. I just wanted to...
Okay, the big record store, what was that called, the big one?
Radio, I don't know.
Record.
It's, Yeah.
The biggest one has the blue and yellow. Okay, that one. I'm sitting there, and it's a library, too. It's a library record store, signing the autographs, and the people were winding around. The funny story about the people who had the magazine for me to sign, my magazine issued December 92, they had to go, I think they had to buy it kind of far away. Oh, no, I got that wrong. In my hometown of, I went to school in a cow town. It's probably really a cute place now. Maltby, Washington, Monroe High School. Hi, Monroe Bearcats. I had a great time at that school, but it was small. Like I said, it was, well, that is conservative too. They just don't get it. They don't get like sexy stuff, entertainment, business. So those people had to go to a couple of towns over to buy the magazine. They couldn't even buy it. In the little town I went to high school, it was against the law to buy it, or they didn't offer it.
Right.
So,
right.
So that's how that was. And Playboy also, I mean, not Playboy, a person, an interview person, paparazzi, they called up my grandma. They got my grandma's phone number and said, I heard that your granddaughter going to be in Playboy magazine. And she said, oh, she would never do that. And they're like, no, she did. And then she's like, oh, that's great. You know how grandparents are. That's exactly how that conversation went.
Wow.
It's crazy how they actually do that. I don't know if they do that anymore. Is it that big of a deal?
Well,
I mean, it's 30 years ago. It's a long time, actually. Times have changed, right?
Yeah, it just seems like that would be a little bit intrusive today. You cannot just, I mean, you know, even if your grandmother was completely supportive, today that would be a little intrusive. You don't do that. You don't just call up family members like that, you know. You understand?
I understand, but I know that they've done it to another playmate because we interviewed her and she said so.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of weird, silly, crazy things that people don't know about this whole thing. I don't think that they realized that there was so much budget back then. Like coming out to your hometown and making sure you were splashed all over the front pages of everything and doing video on you of whatever daily activity you were up to. And and then spending all that money on the person coming out to take care of it. And then I moved right away. I found an apartment right away through Mel Blanc. Noel Blanc is his dad. That's the guy who makes the Porky Pig sound. So
Noel Blanc?
Yeah, he could do it. But his Noel Blanc, his father was the one who did all of those sounds. But I would have him do it for me all the time. And I became friends with him at the Playboy Mansion. He was always up there. Well, he had this apartment that he had rented for some girlfriend, and it was no more. All I had to do was take over the lease, this prime Beverly Hills apartment. Oh, my gosh. I lived there. I had that apartment for 9 years. And then when I moved to Vegas for a couple years and came back, the same people rented, not exactly the same apartment, but I lived in three different apartments at this place. Those were the good old days. I don't know if that exists anymore. It seems quite corporate. Everywhere, any apartment complexes, it's just like huge companies. Back then, Beverly Hills was so different. It was just such a smaller community. Now, it's actually, people are moving out of there. They don't even feel safe. I did. I moved. I live down here in Huntington Beach now, and I love it down here.
It must be an interesting town. I mean, looking, you know, living there, and then, you know, I think one of the things is that there's a certain magic to the state of California, it seems, especially, you know, when you around where you live. Wouldn't you say so?
I think you're right. You know, latitude changes your attitude.
That's so true, though, Tony.
I am telling you, I do the exact same thing. I do. But if I lived in Arizona, where I was living for a couple of years, completely depressed and not happy because of living there. But I just couldn't even survive. I couldn't, because my attitude just was not grooving with living there. The minute I moved here, I became successful again. It really matters to me.
It's
people
good.
Are like, oh, well, why don't you live in, you know, anywhere, like anywhere, if you just can do anything from your place. It just matters. I'm telling you, it just does. It's not like I go to the beach every day, but I like to know that it's there in 4 minutes if I want to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true. Let me ask you this. When you're on the beach, has anybody ever recognized you?
Oh, Johnny, I'm sure in your mind you're thinking, oh, bikini clad. California girl. people recognize me when I use my credit card and it has my name on it. That's when they're like, oh, are you the real Barbara Moore? Yeah, well, I am. But it's usually Austin Powers, the Fembot role that I had in big Blockbuster, because there is power in being in a Blockbuster. Everybody. Whoa, these residuals, they're still coming in. This is one line as a fembot in Austin Powers International Man of Mystery, but a Blockbuster is different. And people recognize you, and it is a big deal. If I knew that so much, I would have just kept going. I just didn't like acting that much. I would get parts. I acted with Hugh Hefner in Blossom. And my first acting job was on Married with Children, 2 shows in front of a live audience. Yeah, I didn't want to come out of my trailer. I was nervous, but I did it. And then I was so glad, and it was fun in the end. But I just wasn't. That wasn't my dream. The dream of just, I have to act on a silver screen. I have to act. I have to show people my acting talent. I want to share this with people. I didn't. And people were so disappointed when I said, hey, you know what? I was one of the last 3 up for that last Baywatch part, and I'm done now. Bye-bye. After that, I was just, my manager was so upset. I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. I want to dance. And that's what I went and did. And I was more afraid of stepping into that dance studio than anything I've ever done in my life. Do you know why, Johnny?
Why?
Because I wanted it so badly. And when you want something so badly, you're so afraid. Sometimes you are, speaking generally, sometimes you're very afraid of failing because you want it so badly. And fear is the thing that will stop you dead in your tracks. That's your wall. So, you know, it was scary. But once just step in there. Just step in there, everybody. Just do the first step. And the rest is just going to fall into place. It's the first step. You know, just go for it. So then I was telling people, oh, you know, I want to do, you know, gold, then I want to do open, I want to be an open champion dance, ballroom dance, and you know, 14 different styles. And I could see like kind of they're looking up in the air, not totally rolling their eyes, but looking, you know, like, yeah, right. I felt it in me, and I knew how much I was going to practice. Well, I did it. Yeah, it took 3 years and 8 months, and it started at 29 years old. I had a lot to learn. There's 15 different ballroom dances. And
15?
4 different styles. I did all styles. And then I gravitated towards standard ballroom, waltz, tango, foxtrot, Viennese waltz, and quick step. Those are the five dances within standard ballroom, which is considered to most the most technical and difficult. This is when you are connected with your dance partner at all times. You don't twirl away and twirl in and twirl away. You're constantly in body contact. So if you're not together, it's not going to look smooth. And this is what I was gravitating towards. So I dropped the Latin, I dropped the American smooth and the American rhythm, and I just focused on standard for 3 months with my new Russian teacher. And I loved it because the instructor before came up to him and asked him, why are you entering Barbara in the open? Because the open is as high as you can go. And he turned and said to him, because she's going to win.
That's great.
And I had no idea that conversation went on a couple of days before I competed. That's what I loved about Igor. He would always say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just relax. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it. I felt so, so safe there, you know, with him. And
where is Igor now?
Here in Huntington Beach.
Oh, wow.
World
champion.
Where
do I see him?
Oh, I see him all the time, Igor. Yeah. I also play golf. He taught me how to play golf, and I just did a tournament in Chicago, remember, Johnny? Let's talk about what I do. Let's talk about what I do now.
That's true. What do you want to do now?
No, I said let's talk about what I do now.
Oh, what you do now. What you do now.
I do what I like. Just kidding. Right now, I am enjoying my first, I feel still new here in Huntington Beach. I've been here a few years, but you have to remember right after I got here, COVID happened. So I enjoy it. I enjoy how casual it is. And I took up golf. It was right across the street. I have always, well, no. I'm taking that back. I've been always wanted to play golf. I love sports. It's fine. It's cool. But I was offered several thousand dollars to play golf. So I thought I'll go take a lesson. I took one. The very next day, flew there, and I pulled it off. I just kept thinking, good thoughts, good thoughts, good thoughts. I kept thinking, if you just hit the first ball perfectly, that's all you need to do. Got over that hump, did it, boom. I actually came clean with my other scrimmage players. I said, hey, you know, this is the first time in 15 years I hit a ball. And they and even 15 years prior was just with Igor and Lorenzo when I was at a dance competition. It was hot and I wasn't even trying. I didn't even really hit it. The only thing I did with Igor is hit it at the golfing range quite often to practice. So, hey, that was really what was important. But the instructor the day before, he got it. I said, here, this is what I've gotten myself into. And he's like, got it. Boom, boom, boom. He told me the lingo I needed to use, how to walk up to the position with different kinds of hits, and how to hold it. It's very important to hold it. And he had me whack it many times, and he said, you're all good. I believed him, and I was all good. Made the money, and I came back. And, you know, I'm looking for a couple golf dance too, but golf partners, and I'm here. I'm alone. I'm also doing another thing, which is exciting. Do you know what that is, Johnny?
What?
Do you not know what the new thing I have taken on is?
No, what is it?
I'm learning how to play the drums.
Oh, that's right.
I know you love music, but most people would great but you don't even, hey, I'm never going to ask you to do a sound check again, Johnny boy, because you don't even care about sound. I sounded like I was underwater, and you said that sounded great.
Well, you are very interesting to interview. You are.
So what did I just say then?
That I'm not very good with the sound check.
No, okay. Time before that. What did I just say before that?
And I don't like music.
Right before that.
And that you're taking up the drums.
Okay, yes. I'm taking up the drums, and thank you. I have found another instructor, and all you all out there who want to know who it is, you go do your work and your research, and I got the best instructor for drums and learning, and it's so fun. It's only been a few times. Hey, everybody, I need drums. I need a drum set. If you have an extra one, send it over. Give me my
You don't box. Have a drum set?
No, I don't.
Mm. Oh, well.
Okay. Apparently,
well, they are expensive, yeah.
Are you there?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
No. Hello, people are listening, and this is boring.
I'm here. I mean, it's
big, tough editing on this one.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, when you do the drums, like, what's the first lesson?
First lesson would be to learn the different drums that you will be using and the names of them. Then a little bit about how to hold the sticks. I don't want to give you too much at first because you're going to get overwhelmed. You're thinking about a lot of things. Your feet position, you're sitting there, balance, how to use your energy, which all of that makes a lot of sense to me because I do that thing in a different way with dance. And oh gosh, you learn actually how to read the drum music. You learn how to read music. You learn.
What I was going to say, this is thought. This is something that happened one time. Me and my father, we were having this discussion. And the discussion was, and I think he'll agree with me on this, unless you can think of something else. We were talking about what we thought the world's oldest musical instrument was. And in my honest opinion, it's the drum.
Oh.
Because when you really think about it, I mean, cavemen, they were pounding you on, like, boulders. The other instruments, it's actually, the drums are really the most simple instrument when you really think about it. I mean, the others, they involve wood, you know, wood being, you know, and then you got to put the wood here.
You are so right, Johnny, when you say wood. Woodwind with the mouthpiece, your embouchure, which means your position, how to work your mouth on it, that can be tricky. But no. Okay, yeah, anybody can learn anything, I think. But are you going to have that little extra edge? Are you going to bring a little of your own character to it? Are you interesting to watch? How do you enjoy it? All those things are factors of being a drummer. But I am not going to say it's easier than flute. I'll guarantee you. I don't think it is. It's not easier than flute. I played the flute for 7 years. I was first chair most of the time when I was really into it. When I didn't have a boyfriend, I was first chair. Okay. Hello. I think drums are harder. But that could be because, hey, you guys, I'm not lying to you here about my age. You know you could do the math. I was Miss December 1992, and, you know, the approximate age of a Playboy Playmate is brand new is 23. So now here we are today, and I'm telling you, I think the drums are harder than the flute. But is that because I'm older?
Hmm.
I think because I had a lot going on, and I'm not just a student being taken care of, like, at school, and okay, now you practice every day. You know what I mean? Is there too much in my brain?
Well, you know, one thing that you could say about that is they say when you learn languages, it's easier when you're younger. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like, you know, it would be easier for Priscilla to learn a language than you would have that language, you know, than you would. So, but, you know, I honestly don't know. I mean, I think it is probably.
No. It's not easy. Because you were trying to say that they were easy to learn, like they're the most easy. No, they're not. They're not easy. It's not easy. Do you know how many drums are there in the whole set? I have only even touched like 3 of those. There's so many. Anyway, I'm not going to psych myself out. I am on a good track right now. I had a great class today. Shout out to my instructor. Thank you. Very amazing person. And
well,
hello, let's talk about Ninelle's, which is, okay, I want to talk about my catalog work because I don't think you're going to ever ask that question. It's,
okay, go right ahead.
Okay. When you do get Playboy Playmate status and you decide to actually continue modeling in the Los Angeles area, you will be in for a very good surprise because when you're a Playboy Playmate, every big top brand company wants you. And if you have the right proportions and the great measurements, you are in. And if you do a good job first time, you've got a great future of money making. I did that with Fredericks of Hollywood. I was their first billboard model ever. I think you put that on the reel here when you were watching the show, the slideshow, my billboard.
I might have.
Billboard later in Vegas. I was the first billboard model, and I, you know, when you walk into a Fredericks of Hollywood and you see the huge, way bigger than life posters, they used to give those to me of me, and I sold them all on eBay. I have unique items up there, but I did that for years, you guys, and that was the bread and butter right there for my kind of modeling because, you know, I'm the body model. I'm the fitness, the lingerie, the swimwear. I'm not in New York City, 6'1", skeleton, walking down the runway, okay, for $10,000, $20,000 a pop. No, I am I'm a fitness type body model, lingerie, and which everybody really needed a lot of, apparently,
because
I did well. And I loved working for Shirley of Hollywood, which they were a manufacturer, although they had a gorgeous calendar and catalog. And I also got the Lane ski poster. So that was cool because I was following in good footsteps of Playboy Playmates. Pamela Anderson was the one before me. So that was a big deal. And I got paid way more for the Sega Saturn poster nationwide, then I got paid for Playboy doing the whole thing. And that was a really good one. And I had to be on one toe on a peg, straight up. It kind of reminded me of like the cross Jesus was on, literally. It was like that. So what? I earned all that money. I feel like I earned that money. And
okay.
I had to be nude. So, see, these companies that needed you nude, but then they weren't going to have you nude in the finished product, and they would write the writing over it. Or I did an Esquire magazine cover with a celebrity, and it was just my back. But you have to be nude on set. So, therefore, they would go to Playboy because, of course, the Playmates, they're comfortable with that. It's not going to be a problem. If they're treated with respect, it's not going to be a problem. So all the catalogs and then the posters and the and the top companies that would hire you to be their spokesmodel as well for the year. Like the beer, all the beer. I did the Miller and the Pacifico. And I have an interesting story about the Pacifico beer shoot in Mexico after you asked me your question.
Well, you know, I mean, when you do those shoots, I mean, do you do anything to mentally prepare?
No, but physically, yes.
Okay. Can you elaborate?
On how to prepare physically for a shoot like that?
Yes.
Okay. You really have to work your ass off. And you can't have an ounce of fat on your body. And it has to be smooth and perfect no matter which way you turn. And your nails have to be absolutely perfect. Your skin has to be flawless. Your hair has to be healthy and perfectly done. Colored just perfectly. And your skin tone has to be perfect. Then you are ready to go in front of the camera. And sometimes I don't even want to work out anymore, which is so bad. But all those hours and hours of just working myself to the bone, and sometimes even, I'm not saying starve. I'm not going to say I'm starving myself, but because now I'm learning that this intermittent fasting is actually good for you. Good, because I did that quite often, everybody. Don't eat any salt either before your shoot. And you'll be fine. But it was hard. And sometimes you just don't want to. You want to eat everything, especially around Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And my mom told me, Barbara, this is part of your job, staying in shape. No, it actually meant so much to me. Sometimes I didn't know if my mother would even really proud of what I do, what I've done, what I do. It was different when she would come out and visit me. I would see that she was, but going into her atmosphere, it was so Christian. It felt like they hid the Playboy thing, but it wasn't brought out too much in conversation. But you know, when you're in a family, there's certain family members. It's amazing and so cool. Like my uncle, her brother, here's another thing that stuck in my mind when I was a little girl. Literally at 6 and 7 years old, we would go over to Uncle Dick's house, and my mom would say, don't let the kids go in your room. And they'd be always laughing. And I snuck in there one time to see what they were talking about. All the walls, the entire walls and ceiling from head to toe were, they make centerfolds. What happened to Johnny? Johnny, are you there? What happened? What happened to you, Johnny? Are you there? Okay, well, I guess we have gone over, anyway, we've gone over. It was my special show, so I'm not playing the hostess today. But thank you, everybody, for listening. And, if you want to know more about what I accomplished or my life or what I've done since Playboy, then go to my links on the show description. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and you can find out more. And don't forget to follow us here at Blog Talk Radio, where I love to be. And it's so fun, because I never thought I would ever be doing radio. But everybody says I don't have the face for radio, which is so sweet. But it's also nice not having to do your hair and makeup and wardrobe every single day. So thanks for listening, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
All right. Everyone, we're having some technical stuff. Okay. I don't know what that was. Let's make sure. Okay,
what
Barbara,
happened?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I don't know what
that happened?
Was.
I already ended the show because you, it's like you were gone, so I ended it. And then now I called back just to see what was going on.
Okay,
so
Barbara, are you there? We're hearing an echo.
What happened? I already ended the show because you, it's like you were gone, so I ended it. And then now I called back just to see what was going on.
No, you're still on.
We're hearing an echo.
I already ended the show because you were gone.
We're done.
Bye-bye. Okay.